This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 30th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll get a look at the latest budget negotiations as the Illinois legislature fights toward a Saturday night deadline to get a budget passed or else go into overtime. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, today's news. As mentioned, tomorrow is the official end date of the spring session for Illinois lawmakers, but they haven't approved a budget or a $31 billion building plan, which is also on the table. Tony Arnold reports.
The Capitol building plan calls for an expansion of gambling and leasing the state lottery to provide money for roads, bridges, and other construction projects. The question remains, though, whether state legislators will stick around past Saturday if they don't approve it before then. Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan says the future of the Capitol plan falls on Governor Rod Blagojevich. Madigan says the governor has been reluctant to bring people to the table.
The House Democratic Caucus is a very diverse group. I work every day to bring them together. Blagojevich attempts to rip people apart, and now we see what the problem is. He can't govern. He can't get things enacted because of that government style.
Earlier this week, Blagojevich had a press conference with all the state legislative leaders, except Madigan. At that time, the leaders said they supported passing the Capitol plan. I'm Tony Arnold.
State workers say poor staffing and cuts in health care and pensions have brought contract talks to a standstill with the Blagojevich administration. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more on a rally yesterday in Champaign.
About 30 members of AFSCME Local 31 gathered outside a regional office building, one of 40 sites around Illinois hosting informational pickets. The union has been negotiating with the state for 6 months. Staff Representative Rick Prince says they don't expect the benefits of a state lawmaker, simply something fair that doesn't include hikes in health care premiums and mandatory overtime because of staffing shortages.
They're so short-staffed that they're working so much overtime that it gets dangerous. And, you know, they can't do that. They've got a right to have lives with their families and stuff, too. And they shouldn't be so short-staffed that they can't get the job done appropriately. And that's what the state is forcing folks to do.
Prince says staffing problems force Department of Human Service workers and those with the Department of Children and Family Services to do the work of two or three people. An AFSCME spokesman says they're willing to stay at the bargaining table as long as it takes, but adds it's too early in the series of talks to consider a work stoppage for the union's 35,000 employees. The current contract expires June 30th. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A spokeswoman for the Blagojevich administration says they are bargaining in good faith with AFSCME. A federal judge in Chicago has barred school districts across the state from holding the daily moment of silence suitable for prayer that's required under state law. U.S. District Judge Robert Gettleman says he's given school districts time to object to his March 28th preliminary injunction on enforcement of the moment of silence law, but he received no objections. Gettleman previously halted the law from being observed in one school district in Chicago suburbs after atheist activist Rob Sherman challenged the law on behalf of his daughter, who's a student there. But the challenge has since become a class action lawsuit applicable to the entire state. Sherman and other opponents of the law contend it's merely a disguise for prayer in the classroom. The lawyer for Maurice Legrone Jr. says he could return to circuit court to see a rehearing on his murder conviction. Stuart Schiffman commented after the Illinois Supreme Court yesterday without comment refused to hear Legrone's appeal of his convictions in the 2003 drownings of three young children at Clinton Lake. The Clinton man was convicted in 2006 of first-degree murder in the deaths of the children of his former girlfriend, Amanda Hamm. Hamm was sentenced to 10 years in prison while Legrone is serving a life sentence. Legrone had hoped to argue that a jury in his trial wasn't told that it could convict him of a lesser charge, such as involuntary manslaughter. The University of Illinois is again serving as host to more than 800 firefighters, EMTs, and other emergency personnel to help them hone their skills. Its Fire Service Institute has brought in instructors from around the country for the annual Fire College. It's a four-day event where students take classes ranging from entry-level training to hazmat monitoring. The Institute's Assistant Director Brian Brower says the event includes an open house tonight that'll give the public an idea of some of the things they deal with each day.
We're going to have demonstrations of a liquefied propane fire. It's the only time folks can see a 40-foot wide fireball and not have to run the other way. Demonstrations of an automobile extrication. We'll have a rope rescue demonstration, a fire safety house from the Savoy Fire Department.
Brower says there will also be a demonstration showing two side-by-side rooms, one with a smoke detector and a sprinkler, the other without, illustrating the value of such equipment. The U of I's Fire College is the oldest in the country. It's been around 84 years, and the open house is at 7:30 tonight. The only Hindu temple in downstate Illinois is located in Peoria, but organizers in Champaign-Urbana have plans to build a temple in their part of the state. As AM580's Jim Meadows reports, they kicked off their fundraising campaign last night with a dinner at an Urbana hotel.
The Hindu Temple and Cultural Society of Central Illinois hopes to raise $3 million to build downstate Illinois' second Hindu temple at a site 2 miles north of Champaign. Sharda Panditi has been helping with work on the temple's design. She says she misses the presence of a Hindu temple that was part of growing up in the Chicago area.
Almost every weekend I used to be at the temple when I was in Chicago. And now slowly that influence, I can see how it's kind of waned away from us. And then I have a daughter here who's in high school who hopes to go to the temple and do her homework there. You know, the peaceful environment and all that. So I think, you know, the educational aspect of it for the next generation.
Panditi says that when completed, the temple will blend traditional features of northern and southern Indian temple architecture, much like other Hindu temples in America. The basement level will be used as an Indian cultural and educational center. Phase one of construction can begin once $1.8 million is raised, but Panditi says the features that distinguish the building as a Hindu temple won't be seen until its final completion. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. If Illinois lawmakers are to meet their self-imposed weekend deadline to approve a budget and wrap up their spring session, they'll likely rely on some fuzzy math. Work continues on a spending plan, but it's still unclear how they'll pay for it. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford has more.
When a state winds down its fiscal year, hundreds of millions of dollars in the red and forced to delay payments to those who provide services, it's clear there are money problems. That's the case in Illinois. Even so, the new state budget being negotiated would likely increase spending next year by $2 billion or more, and probably offers no real way to pay for part of that. Illinois' Constitution requires a balanced budget, but the definition of balanced is vague at best. Gary Hannig, the House Democrats' budget negotiator, says there are other ways to reach that goal. Those could include the governor trimming the final product once it reaches his desk.
If the governor believes that the budget we ultimately send him is out of balance, he has the ability, and I would say the obligation, to reduce those items in the budget. And then we would have an opportunity during the veto session to say whether we agreed with him or not.
The veto session is 6 months away, and more importantly, after the November elections. Republican Roger Eddy says that explains the Democrats' strategy.
The potential for this is we can spend it now, we can commit to the spending now, and then after the election is over with, in the veto session, when everybody's safe, we can come back and figure out how we're going to pay for it, but let's spend it now so we can look good.
Eddy predicts a November surprise, where Democrats will try to push through a tax hike to pay for their budget after voters have already gone to the polls. He and other Republicans are upset at being shut out of the budget negotiations. As long as Democrats pass their budget by Saturday night, Republicans will have no say. But if the session drags into June, more votes would be needed and the GOP is back in play. While all appears in motion for Democrats, the ruling party has had trouble getting along. The legislative leaders and the governor are still feuding, so they've avoided sitting down together to figure out how much the state has to spend and staying within that framework. House Republican Rosemary Mulligan calls it embarrassing.
What a dysfunctional way of governing the state of Illinois. What a dysfunctional way of doing the budget. Since the three Democrat leaders barely can speak and everybody wants to go home, we've decided to do this piecemeal. So all of you who vote for this are voting for the most dysfunctional way of doing government that we have done in a long time.
However, after last year's record overtime session in which a budget was finally passed in August, nearly 2 months after the start of the fiscal year, many view this session as an improvement. As long as the money earmarked for various purposes holds up throughout the year and schools, social service agencies, and state vendors get their money, it could prove better. But if the budget falls apart in coming months and funds promised wind up being withheld, that opinion could be different. In the General Assembly, the focus is clearly in the here and now. Again, Democratic Representative Gary Hannig.
If there was anything I got from last summer's train wreck session, it was that the citizens that I represent want me to finalize a budget this year before the end of May. And several of them made the statement to me, it doesn't have to be a perfect budget. You're dealing with estimates anyway. You're dealing with unknowns that are over a year away. Do the best you can and put together a budget. And will we have to adjust it as we go? We almost always have to adjust budgets as we go.
As for the actual spending plan, it's getting passed piecemeal, with some of the larger chunks still to come. The final line items for education, human services, and other needs are still being worked on, but most expect the legislature will wrap up this weekend. At what cost is unknown. I'm Sean Crawford.
AM580 meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast for the weekend begins with storms. We've got a mostly cloudy sky in the forecast for northern Illinois today with clusters of showers and thunderstorms. In northern Indiana and in central sections, partly sunny with thunderstorms arriving in the afternoon. In the south, mostly sunny and warm with highs ranging from 78 in northwest Illinois to around 90 in the far south, and a moderate risk of severe storms for central Illinois this afternoon. 85 the high in Champaign-Urbana, with gusty winds from the south to southwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour, with some higher gusts possible. Mostly cloudy in northern Illinois tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms early, then becoming partly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy across the two states with clusters of rain and thunderstorms, and lows from 58 in northwest Illinois to around 70 far south. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in the south during the afternoon. The highs tomorrow from 77 north to 87 far south. 65 in Champaign-Urbana tonight, then 82 for the high tomorrow with a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night in 60, then Sunday partly sunny with a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm again and a high of 81. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.